Hi everyone, and thanks for listening to Visibility, the monthly podcast produced by CID, the Council for Intellectual Disability. Here, we'll be telling our stories and exploring some of the issues that impact people with intellectual disability. To find out more about our work, visit www.cid.org.au. Now, settle in and enjoy.
In the spirit of reconciliation, the Council for Intellectual Disability acknowledges the traditional custodians of country throughout Australia and their connections to land, sea and community. We pay our respects to their elders, past and present, and extend that respect to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples today. You're listening to Visibility, the Council for Intellectual Disabilities podcast. Today we'll be talking with Judith about her experience as a person with intellectual disability, who's also a parent and a grandparent, and some of the joys and challenges of family relationships.
Welcome, Judith. How are you today?
I'm good, thank you.
Oh, that's really good. Thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us on the podcast.
Glad to.
Excellent. So, Judith, I know that you've got some incredible life experience, and I wanted to chat with you today about what it was like way back when you were a first-time mum, and talk about what that experience was like for you. So, Judith, you have four children, right?
I have four children. Yes, I do.
How old are they now?
First one's going to be 39 December. The youngest is 27.
That must have been really hectic. Having so many kids in the house. Can you tell us what it was like a little bit day to day, sort of running around in a busy house and having to try and do work and being a busy mum?
It's a bit crowded. When my family get together, it's a big family.
How many people do you reckon would be at a big family gathering, Judith, for your family?
No, I don't know. Oh, 30. It's going to be 11 grandchildren, my four kids and their partners, and my great-grandson and his mum. That's quite a lot.
So, Judith, you have lots of experience with family, with as being a mother and a grandmother and a great-grandmother. What do you think makes a happy, healthy family?
Healthy relationships. Healthy. Have a good relationship, connect with families together as a family. With love and respect, lots of love.
What makes a good relationship, do you think? How can you tell, Judith, if you're having a good relationship with someone?
Be there, be respectful, take it as who they are, no discrimination. I just want my family to be happy. They're happy with their own lives, yeah.
So can you tell us a little bit what it was like being a new mum with your daughter? Like what sort of things did you really think about when you realised that you were pregnant?
I was looking forward to be a mum because I was pretty confident I'd be a good mum at that time. Some things I'm not sure. Did I? It should be looked after, and am I doing the right thing to be a good mum? I had a lot of questions in my mind that time, my first one. I was less stressful than now to have my babies. Because if I was stressed, the baby could feel a bit of stress too.
What's one of your favourite memories as a new mum?
No, birth my first child. That's only 39 years ago. It was different. It was new. My life changed. I had to go into some changes during my life. When I was pregnant with my first child, I had to settle down as be a responsible parent. I did have some challenges there. They went past later on.
And so do you think that because you grew up with an intellectual disability, were you looking out for that with your babies?
I did, yeah, I did. Before they were born, I started looking out. I had plans to look out, just make sure they didn't go through what I went through. I wouldn't let that happen to them. Make sure they get all help and support they need.
For your childhood experience, did you get the support that you needed when you were a baby and a kid growing up?
No. I had to get tested when I was 6 years old. It was ordered by New South Wales Welfare. It's called Welfare at that time. now as Department of Community Services.
Do you have siblings with intellectual disability?
No, not my siblings, no, only a couple of one of our cousins.
And so did you feel that you were treated differently from your siblings because you had an intellectual disability?
They were a lot more tougher with me than my brothers. My mum did put me first, just put my brothers first before me. They said I gave them a hard time. They didn't know what to do.
And I know that we were chatting about, how you wanted to ensure that your children got some of the support that you didn't get. And do you think that gave you a bit more of an insight? Maybe you would have been looking out with your new babies a bit more than, say, a mum without or a parent without intellectual disability?
Yeah, I did look out more. I didn't want my children to turn out the same as me, same struggle as I did. Because I knew I'm happy if they did, I would get them help already, get started. I started school almost 9 years old.
Wow, that's late, isn't it?
Yes. It was late. Most of my job got to start early. When I was 15 years old, I made a choice. I'm not going to be enough science with my mum. I didn't even be like her because I had a lot of difficult relationship with her. I didn't want the same thing to happen to my girls. I'm a bit more open, like, honest. Yes. I learned experience from my mum and her mum too. Yeah. It took my grandma a long time to accept it. For the last 2 years of her life, she's like me. I'm a bit more understandable, not be so narrow-minded. Why my girls come tell me things?
So you wanted to make sure that as a parent yourself that your kids could always come and talk to you?
They come talk to me, tell me things, yes. Because I did want somebody who's very narrow-minded and very judgmental, because my mum was very judgmental. I just don't like that.
So you wanted to be an open-minded parent?
Yeah, be open-minded, yeah.
Do you think that you are, Judith?
I think I am. Some things might be, some barriers a little bit different. I'll keep my barriers mold to myself a little.
And so, Judith, do any of your children have disability at all?
I had a slight borderline, my second daughter in ID. As an adult, she has a mental health more than else.
And so did you pick up on her mild intellectual disability when she was young?
No, I didn't. Not until she started preschool, and then they realised something wasn't right, something was a bit wrong. Then I started noticing it later when they told me. And I said, he asked for help then.
And did they include you in all the stuff that was happening?
Yes, I did, yes.
Oh, that's excellent, yeah. And do you feel like because you know what it's like to have an intellectual disability that you probably were able to understand your daughter a bit better?
Yeah, I do, yes. When I first found out, I said, give her support, give her help. As I did on her level of learning. She was doing fine. She's a good reader, good spelling. She never gave up. She kept going. Yeah, like a mum.
Sounds like it's part of your philosophy, Judith, to keep going. And did you have much support from your family and your partner at the time? And
no family support at all. No partner support.
Wow, that's really tough, isn't it?
It was tough, yes.
And you did that with four children?
I did all the four children.
Wow, that's incredible. And so, Judith, can you tell us a little bit more what it was like, say, doing all the first things, like, I guess, you know, your first day home with your new baby? What was that like, sort of setting things up and you know, organising yourself for a new baby in your life?
It was different. It was really different, yes, yeah. It was a bit nervous and scared at first, and then just things got better.
And I think all new parents would be able to relate to that.
All new mums go through it, yes.
You had two babies under two at one stage, didn't you?
Yeah, I had two babies under 2 years.
And so what was that like, juggling that?
I knew I can, I can organise, look after two kids myself. So that's learning experience from the first one. Kept me busy.
I bet. And so what was the difference between like having when you had your first baby and then having your second baby?
Extra chores, extra responsibility to have another child in this world. Especially when the second one's a boy.
Yeah, and I guess you kind of knew what you're in for a little bit, did you?
I knew what I was in for, and I knew what to do. Yeah, more experienced.
And so with that, did you find that like nurses or doctors or health professionals, did they treat you differently because you had an intellectual disability?
No, not really, no. I mean, the first nursing baby nurse sister, it had a bit of doubts. Then it got better as it goes along. I'm capable of looking at my baby myself, yeah.
So now if you were to have a conversation, say, with a midwife or with a community nurse, so people who are going to have contact with new mums and new parents, new dads, you know, anyone who's a new parent, would you sort of have any advice for them if they're working with people with intellectual disability, working with new parents with intellectual disability? Would you have any advice for them?
Just be treated equally like anybody else.
Yeah.
Be included like the same as other people, anybody. Anybody should be included the same. Yeah.
Oh, lots of interesting things have been covered today. So stick around because we'll be back after this short break.
You're listening to Visibility, the podcast produced by the Council for Intellectual Disability. If you're enjoying this episode, you can support us by reviewing us through Apple, Podchaser, or your favourite listening app.
Welcome back. We've been talking to Judith about life as a first-time mum with an intellectual disability. Like, did you get to a stage, Judith, where you thought, oh, gosh, should I tell my children I have an intellectual disability, or should they just see me as mum? Or it's a tricky thing, isn't it?
Both. I told them as I got older. Yeah. When their friends said, is there something wrong with your mum? Because my speech impediment, part of my disability. I talk about my experiences and what it was like. The kids say, I love your mum. They still love me. Yes. Yeah.
That is so good. And so, Judith, I wanted to also kind of ask you about, I guess, like, you know, as your kids were growing up and they were getting friends and they were going on play dates, did you have to have discussions with other parents about your disability?
No, I didn't. I didn't talk about it to other people.
Yeah.
Maybe because I was bullied when I was young at school, wasn't it?
Yeah.
They put me down and I didn't want to talk about it to other parents.
And I guess you shouldn't have to keep telling people.
No, I didn't have to know. I didn't talk to many people. Only ones who knew me from my childhood. That's see how I was doing it as a mum. They were really surprised. I was doing well. Yeah.
When you're a parent or you're a caretaker of a child, kids come home with homework. So how did you deal with when your kids maybe started coming home with homework?
I did do my best to talk about teaching, to my ability, yeah.
Yeah.
Any difficult card, I couldn't help them. Ain't it easy?
Yeah.
Like easy to read and maths, easy stuff.
Yeah. And so were you worried that you felt like, oh, gosh, if I can't help you, then, you know, it's sort of, it'll make things tricky?
It can be, yes. I went to high school, I couldn't help them much more.
Yeah.
As a parent and grandparent yourself, is there any advice that you give to your children about parenting?
Yeah, I don't know, they're pretty confident parents themselves. They're self-independent. Two of those that do have mental health issues, they try their best.
So I'm wondering, Judith, if one of your girls, you know, sort of called you today as a parent and said, ah, Mum, this is getting too much, the kids are driving me crazy, what would you say to her?
Take time out. I say, take time out. Here's what I used to do. Just take time. Take time. I go to my room, close the door, go to my room for a while. They do that, mate. When the boys at school, they do take time out. When their baby's asleep, they spend time on themselves. Yeah, and they rest as well a little while. Just don't take it on your children. It's not good. It's not healthy.
Well, what would you say, Judith, to any new mums in the hospital at the moment, all of those doubts that you have in your mind but you believe in yourself, what would you say to a new mum?
Just believe in yourself and don't put it in your mind. Your mind will take over.
It's so great for you to be able to share with us that, you know, like anyone who's a first-time parent, it's scary, you're worried, you feel like you're not sure whether you can do a good job, but your philosophy of always, you know, trying your best and knowing that you are capable, that people then started trusting that you were capable. And I think that that's a great message.
Yeah. If you want to have children, that have them, because nothing will stop you, even with your ID. Because I had other people, their parents got their daughter's tubes tied. They're missing out a lot. They had no choice. It's just harsh, really harsh.
Yeah, that's really harsh. It's so important that those sorts of things don't happen anymore and people have choice and control in their lives, right?
Yes, I sure do, yeah. I don't know what to do about my family. I don't know what I do. I had to have a choice, either wait for marriage or to have children. I took the choice to have children. So if I waited for somebody to marry me, I wouldn't have no children at all. As an adult, it was my choice. When I was about 24, 25 years old, I told my mum that.
Yeah.
She did accept it later on.
But you knew from a young age you really wanted to have babies?
Yeah, I did, yes. I always knew I never thought about husbands at all. I knew in my heart what's going to happen. I like being a parent, yes. If I did, I wouldn't have nothing to look forward to. I have children, it was a bit later, but once I was pregnant, I forgot I'm not capable of. I left that behind.
Oh, that's so great. And that shows a strength, because I imagine lots of people on the outside were perhaps saying that you couldn't, but inside you were like, yes, I can.
Yes, I can, yes. I can leave something behind on this earth. It's my children and then many generations to come.
Yeah. Yeah, having a legacy.
Yeah, of course, my own legacy, yeah.
Please join us again next month for episode 3 in our relationship series, when we'll be talking about the ins and outs of sexual relationships. Until then.
You can support our podcast by leaving a review to Apple or your listening app of choice. Until next month.